The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Trumpet Daily. This is the weekend edition. We're very happy that you're joining us for The Trumpet Daily. I'm your host, Stephen Flurry, and if I refer to any literature along the way, you're welcome to call our toll-free number, 1-866-930-3024. All the material that we quote from or that we offer is offered without cost or obligation. So you can just contact our operators today to become a Trumpet subscriber, for example, our monthly news magazine based upon the prophecies of God, all of the important events going on in the world today and what it means, what your Bible has to say about it, what your Bible has to say about the coming days and weeks and months and years leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. If you like what you hear on this weekend edition of The Trumpet Daily, then make sure that you become a regular listener or viewer of The Trumpet Daily every day of the week, the work week, Monday through Friday. You can get to the live broadcast at our website, thetrumpet.com/live, and that plays at 9 a.m. Every morning on the West Coast, at noontime on the East Coast. So you can make the calculation depending upon where you live. And we'd love to have you join us. We also carry the weekday broadcast on CRN Digital Talk Radio. That takes the audio of our program into 11 million homes around the nation. So we're happy to have CRN Digital Talk Radio. It's Channel 3 on that network, by the way. But we're happy to have them as a broadcast partner. Well, a lot to cover. So much happened in the news over the past week. On Thursday, a judge ruled, Judge Brian Amaro, he ruled in Georgia that this case could go forward, the case revolving around election fraud from November 3rd. The headline from just the news on Friday, huge victory, it says, in quotes, judge names members of Fulton County Election Board in lawsuit ballot audit. The ballot audit, rather, will proceed. It will go forward. Another headline says the Georgia ballot lawsuit can proceed. It's interesting. The judge gave some parameters with which they need to stay inside, and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the left-wing publication over there, they made it sound like that the judge just threw the case out. The headline at the AJC, judge throws out most of case alleging counterfeit ballots in Fulton. So the Journal-Constitution just can't understand why those bringing this lawsuit to court, why they're going forward. They are going forward with an Arizona-style audit, at least for those ballots, those 147,000 absentee ballots. They're making plans and preparations to begin an audit there, even as the audit in Arizona is almost completed. And what will happen when Arizona exposes the truth about what happened on November 3rd? It's just going to give momentum to these other movements in Georgia, and later in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, and so on. And meanwhile, you've got the fake presidency doing everything possible to just blot out the name of Israel, as we've said so many times in our writings. That's taken from a prophecy in 2 Kings 14. They're moving along fast. And of course, this particular president or puppet that's out in front, He's fading fast, as you saw, many of you, just by looking at the news from this past week. This was when he came out with everything that he had to do or was planning to do because of just this wave of crime that's sweeping right across the United States. I mean, this was an important subject to get into last Wednesday. And of course, Joe Biden, for his part, he just says the problem is guns. But in addition to saying that he was going to go after guns, he was struggling visibly. It was painful to watch. It was sad to watch. And it's also very dangerous when you think about American enemies abroad. Looking at this looking at this president or the one that's in the White House at the moment, and just seeing how fast that man is fading. This is from last Wednesday, clip 20.
Now he runs a program that provides high-risk men with cognitive behavioral therapy to help them react to the impulses by slowing down rather than following through on the violence. It puts them in paid jobs to change their trajectory. The program has reduced shootings by 40%. Police Chief Murray of the Baltimore, Police Chief Murphy, Paul of Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
That's a little bit a montage from Biden's efforts to communicate on Wednesday of last week. The New York Post asked this: is no one going to mention how confusing and out of it Biden was? Are we just not going to go there? The Post talks about this circle of protection that the propaganda media provide for this man in obvious decline. That was Wednesday, and then this is a little bit from some of his speaking the next day, clip 5.
I got them $1.9 trillion relief so far. They're going to be getting checks in the mail that are consequential. I wrote the bill. On the environment, pay them more. This is an employees bargaining chip now. What's happening?
A man, as I say, who is fading fast, but there is a very radical and dangerous movement behind him, warring with Donald Trump and now Donald Trump's supporters as well. An attack from within in the United States of America, very significant with respect to Bible prophecy. When you know about Ezekiel 4 and Ezekiel 5, and then my father has drawn so much attention of late to 2 Kings 14, verses 26 and 27, history that, as he said, is also prophecy. I'll leave it to you to study those verses later, but suffice it to say, verse 28, as my father has written, indicates a pause in President Trump's hold on power. How he warred and recovered Damascus and Hamath refers to him fighting in some way to reclaim his stolen election, and that's what's happening right now. It's a war. It's a war happening within our own nation, happening within our borders. And look at the way the radical left has gone after Donald Trump for 5+ years and anyone associated with Trump. Last week, what was that New York court that just went and took Rudy Giuliani's license away? I'm not sure if he's able to appeal that or not, but here he is facing the possibility of being disbarred because this court, this radical leftist court, these communist sympathizers say that Giuliani demonstrably false and misleading statements while fighting for Donald Trump following the fraud of November 3rd. Those are my words. But you can't even bring it up. You can't even suggest that the election was stolen. The New York Times says Mr. Giuliani's actions represented an immediate threat to the public and that he had directly inflamed the tensions that led to the Capitol riot in January. So he's the cause of the Capitol riot, as they call it. They care not one bit about all the riots that happened all over the nation last year. Those were justified. All of the destruction, the rioting, the burning, and yes, the murder. Nobody was murdered on January the 6th, except for Ashley Babbitt, if you consider that a murder. And that came from the police. And we still don't know who it is. So Giuliani loses his license. If you're just stepping back as an American, what a frightening time this is to see these radical leftist courts aligned perfectly with the Democratic Party, which is getting more and more radical and communist with each passing day. And then the media, for their part, they're right in line with the New York Times, or rather the Democrats. They're right in line with these radical judges, and they're going after Giuliani and others like him because of his association with Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States. He's been blotted out too. Can't even get on social media. A former president of the United States. What's behind this movement? The New York Times says the court noted, for instance, that Giuliani repeatedly claimed tens of thousands of underage teenagers had voted illegally in Georgia. An audit by a Georgia office of the Secretary of State found that no one under the age of 18 voted. So they did that little internal audit and found out that everything was what? Perfect. It was all perfect, don't you know? Now, they don't want an official audit. They certainly don't want a third party overseeing an audit. It's one thing for Brad Raffensperger to come out and say, yeah, I looked at everything and it was all great. Have you ever noticed, I've brought this out before on our weekly show or the daily show, have you ever noticed that when they audit themselves, they're always just really pleased with their work? Yeah, we did it perfectly. Even as you have all of these reports, how many thousands of affidavits were submitted to Rudy Giuliani? Witnesses, in other words, people that swore they were under oath, under penalty of perjury if proven to be lying, coming forward and saying, I witnessed a lot of fraud. And here's this New York court saying, we're taking Giuliani's license away because he said there was fraud. And that caused a riot. My father wrote in the April 2021 Trumpet magazine, he said, in America, innocent until proven guilty is a foundational principle of justice. The burden of proof is on the accuser. If someone accused you of colluding with Russia, you wouldn't have to prove that you didn't. The accuser would have to prove that you did. Yet the Department of Justice and the government tried to make Donald Trump out to be guilty unless he proved his innocence. It was a blatant attempt to overthrow the government. And it's the same kind of thinking, the same kind of mentality that goes in and says, Rudy Giuliani's guilty. He should be removed. He should lose his license. Look at what they're doing to those protesters that were there around the Capitol on January the 6th. More than 500 arrests, and many of them still sitting in jail. Solitary confinement for some of them. And no one seems to care. There's a few speaking out, but not very many. Last week on one of our shows, I mentioned these Proverbs. Proverbs 24 and verse 23 says, it's not good to show partiality in judgment. It's not good to show partiality. There's other Proverbs that condemn false weights and measures as an abomination. One of our Trumpet Brief authors, Joel Hilliker, he wrote last week, God hates leaders applying one set of rules to one group of people and another set to others. He hates the government giving one group of protesters space to burn and destroy things while jailing and mistreating another group of protesters guilty only of trespassing. God hates this kind of double standard. God hates this kind of partiality and judgment. And yet we see it all over the place. There was an article last week in the New York Post by Miranda Devine. FBI tears innocent New Yorker's life into shreds after January 6th. He made the mistake, this New Yorker, of venturing out to Washington, D.C. to listen to Donald Trump's speech. He was one of about 200,000 people, but their targets, all of them, certainly those that went into the Capitol, you know, the Capitol building that the law enforcement officials just said, hey, come on in. They opened the doors in some cases. And we now know that there were FBI plants, FBI agents that had infiltrated those right-wing groups and were actually inciting the criminality and the violence that you saw there from a relatively small group compared to the rioting last summer. But let that go, I suppose. FBI inciting it, Antifa, they were mixed in there as well. This is the truth. You don't hear it. No, you just hear that it was Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani. They incited it. And then all of this white rage. They gotta make it a racial thing too. So the New York Post, Miranda Devine, she's one of the few honest reporters left. She writes about this 69-year-old man. His name is Joseph Bolanos. And as I say, he attended the January 6th rally in D.C. He left early because he said it was boring, and then he went back to his hotel. He didn't even go down to the Capitol. Well, I think he went out of his hotel and ventured toward the Capitol later just to see what was going on. But he didn't even go inside. Now, this Bolanos guy, he volunteers in his New York neighborhood. He contributes volunteer work to the community. He takes care of his 94-year-old mother. And the FBI, they went after him. February the 4th, they visited Bolanos, talked to him for about 25 minutes. He explained, he was totally cooperative. He explained everything that he had done. He said, I didn't even go into the Capitol. And then the next week, Bolanos was staying at his mother's house at the time. At 6 a.m., he heard banging on the door. And the FBI, they come charging in with guns drawn. And there was a simultaneous raid over at his apartment. He was staying at his mother's, as I say. So they raided both apartments, confiscated all of his equipment, his computers and such. And the New York Post says this, the warrant authorized the federal agents to seize his property as evidence relating to crimes including obstruction of Congress, civil disorders, conspiracy to impede or assault federal agents, interstate travel to participate in riot, and unlawful entry on restricted buildings or grounds. I mean, those are some serious charges. And he was there just attending a Trump rally. And here comes the FBI looking to destroy this man's life. Did they go after Antifa and BLM last summer? There were a lot of people that crossed state lines. They were bussed into some of those riots. And you had Kamala Harris and others, other high-profile Democrats. If there were arrests, you had them bailing them out the next day. And the charges, in most cases, just dropped. Little slap on the wrist. It's okay to burn down Minneapolis or destroy federal buildings in Portland, but don't you dare go to a Trump rally on January the 6th. Listen to this local report. This is from an NBC station in the New York area about this case that Miranda Devine is writing about. Clip one.
The FBI descends on two Manhattan apartment buildings, combing them for evidence in the new tri-state connection to the Capitol riot. One apartment building in Washington Heights, the other on the Upper West Side. And there, neighbors were shocked to learn that 69-year-old Joseph Bolanos could be facing charges in connection with the invasion of the Capitol.
There were two FBI searches today at apartments linked to one man. The first at this brownstone along West 76th Street. The other in Washington Heights, where the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force was seen along Fort Washington Avenue, taking out bags of possible evidence. We did not see the man at the center of the investigation, Joseph Bolanos. That's because Bolanos was taken away in an ambulance this morning after apparently panicking at the sight of FBI agents at the door.
You'll hear screams and shrieks.
Bolanos, perhaps best known for his decades of activism as leader for the West 76th Street Block Association. But the feds are looking into whether he was active on January 6th, helping to storm the Capitol. Bolanos is not yet facing any charges. We're told the FBI wants to get a look at his electronics as prosecutors in D.C. decide on specific counts. Bolanos did not return calls about today's search and the allegations.
They're going after him and others like him. 69-year-old man. There was the story about the grandmother. I'll come to that a little bit later if I have time. But look, why are they so aggressively going after these Trump supporters? Well, there was an interview with one of the lead prosecutors, one of the federal prosecutors. He was on 60 Minutes early on after the January 6th protest to talk about bringing shock and awe. I mean, they wanted to make a statement. The DOJ, the FBI, they wanted to make a statement, and boy, have they been making it. This goes back to, I believe, February or March of this year, clip 7.
After the 6th, we had an inauguration on the 20th. So I wanted to ensure, and our office wanted to ensure, that there was shock and awe, that we could charge as many people as possible before the 20th. And it worked because we saw through media posts that people were afraid to come back to D.C. because they're like, if we go there, we're going to get charged.
That's right. They were afraid to go back to D.C. So they turned D.C. into an armed camp. All of this razor wire and fences, the FBI, the National Guard brought in. Because it was dangerous. It was a setup. And this poor man, this 69-year-old, his life has been practically destroyed by the FBI, by the DOJ. This New York Post article continues. Bolanos is bereft. He has not been charged and insists he has committed no crime. The poor man, when they took him into custody, he had a stroke. His blood pressure was sky high. He ends up having a stroke. And now, like Devine says, he's bereft, he has not been charged, he insists he committed no crime. But like thousands of other law-abiding Americans who went to Washington on January 6th to see the president speak, his life has been ruined by a hysterical witch hunt for phantom domestic terrorists. It's a witch hunt. They're looking for terrorists. And so they're raiding houses, like in the case of Bolanos. Devine says the violence that day was terrible, and those responsible are being prosecuted to the full extent of the law, as they should be. But the overkill, stinks of the sort of political purge you see in communist China. Meanwhile, the violent rioters and looters of the Summer of Love continue to get off scot-free. Miranda Devine says, this is not justice. This is not justice. Far from it. This is not the Department of Justice upholding the law of the land. This is the Department of Injustice going after political opponents, targeting Trump supporters. The overkill here, it really does stink, as she said. It's a political purge. These are people that the communists and the Democrat Party, they believe these people, I'll play a clip for you in the next segment. They believe they need to be deprogrammed. It's frightening when you think about this happening in the United States of America. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Weekend Edition. You can submit some feedback to us, td@thetrumpet.com, or call our operators if you would like to request a subscription to The Trumpet magazine, 1-866-930-3024. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
A child is a miraculous blessing from God, an opportunity to build his family. In his word, God says to train them up in the way that they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. But how should you train up your child? Most parents do not know. Most parenting books offer only limited help because their authors do not understand the purpose and potential of your child's mind. As a result, millions of children grow up to be hopeless without any direction in life. Many come from broken homes. Many do not have a home. This is why so many young people become delinquent, rebellious, and unsuccessful as teenagers and adults. But you can rear successful, jubilant children and avoid the heartache of an unhappy and miserable home. God has outlined how to rear obedient children in His Word. Our free book, Child Rearing with Vision, will show you how to raise children that follow after God's abundant way of life. It will help you build a strong, united family. It will help you bring God's love into your child rearing. And it will guide you through the momentous journey of preparing your child to serve God the Father forever. Request your free copy of Child Rearing with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to the program, The Trumpet Daily Weekend Edition. I am your host, Stephen Fleury. We thank you for joining us today. We've been on the air now for 6 years, and whether you're a longtime listener or viewer, or you've just recently joined us, we're very, very happy to have you here with us. If you follow us for any length of time, you'll begin to hear the name Herbert W. Armstrong quite a lot. This is a brochure that we've put together called He Was Right. He Was Right. Of course, his ministry was 5 decades, and he died in 1986, and so many of the prophecies that he drew attention to over the course of his ministry, they're being fulfilled right now. Just contact our operators and request He Was Right. As I said, the number is toll-free, 1-866-930-3024. And better yet, the brochure and the Trumpet magazine that we offer to readers each month, or the booklets and books that we make available, they're all offered without cost or obligation. So coming back to the injustice, the overkill, the political purge that we see happening in the United States, of all places, well, in some ways, it's not surprising, is it? Because look at what was happening when Donald Trump was, when he occupied the White House. Look at what the FBI and the DOJ were doing to him and to people associated with him for well over 4 years, 5+ years, nonstop attacks. My father had this to say in an article that he wrote in April of 2018. He said, Jim Comey told Donald Trump in private that he wasn't under investigation. Mr. Trump wanted Comey to relay that message to the public, but he wouldn't because it was a lie. Trump, remember going back to the start of his presidency, he said, well, if I'm not under investigation, go and tell the American people. Go set their minds at ease. Comey wouldn't do it because they were targeting Trump. They were targeting all things Trump. It says, so Mr. Trump fired him. It was the president's right to receive a full briefing of all ongoing investigations. If corrupt agents, this is the point, if corrupt agents can withhold vital intelligence from the president and even spy on him, what can they do to you? If they can do this to Donald Trump, what can they do to this man in New York, Bolanos, 69 years old, minding his own business, serving the community, serving his 94-year-old mother? And then the apartment raids come, and then the stroke, the interrogation, his life ruined. He explains in that New York Post piece how that he's an outcast in the neighborhood. One of his neighbors says, I hope Antifa gets you. How about that? I mean, in a sense, you can hardly blame the neighbors because they're probably watching MSNBC or CNN every night. They might be listening to the Joint Chiefs of Staff guy, the guy that said that he wants to understand white rage, that the white rage that caused January the 6th. That was just last week. The Joint Chiefs chairman, Chairman Milley, listen to what he said. He's talking about critical race theory in this statement that he makes, clip 10.
And I want to understand white rage, and I'm white, and I want to understand it. So what is it that caused thousands of people to assault this building and try to overturn the Constitution of the United States of America?
What is it that I want to understand the white rage that caused that protest or that riot? They call it the riot. The riot without any weapons. The riot without even the fire extinguisher story was made up. There were no guns confiscated, nothing. The only gun we saw in all of that disturbing footage was the officer's gun that gunned down Ashley Babbitt. Conservative Treehouse. It says the January 6th House Select Committee investigation. Well, let me just back up. It's referring to something that Nancy Pelosi announced on Thursday of this past week. Here's Pelosi, clip 2.
The gleeful desecration of the Capitol resulted in multiple deaths, physical harm to over 140 members of law enforcement, and terror and trauma among staff, workers, and members. That trauma is something I can never forget or forgive. However, this morning, with great solemnity and sadness, I'm announcing that the House will be establishing a select committee on the January 6th insurrection. Again, January 6th was one of the darkest days in our nation's history. I've said it now 3 times.
Yeah, we know. She said it. Everybody has said it. Every one of these communists, they just have January 6th on the brain. Why are they so obsessed? Why so much overkill? Why this political purge? Why are they trying to silence Giuliani and others? Because they know. They know they're guilty. They know they stole it. They know they cheated. And so they're trying to cover it up. It really is a war, isn't it? It's a war. America's being attacked from within. The enemy is from within. Gateway Pundit had a story last week. Listen to this. It says a 73-year-old Purple Heart Vietnam veteran and pastor, James Cusick, has been arrested at his home in Florida for being at the Capitol on January the 6th, though he was not involved in any violence or vandalism. He's another veteran, just like Ashley Babbitt. No violence, no vandalism. And now he's been arrested. His son, too. It says his son, Casey, was also arrested in front of his distraught 3-year-old daughter, who asked why they were locking her dad's hands. He's also not accused of any violence or vandalism. Videos of the heartbreaking scene were provided to this site. So they're getting all the 70-year-olds, the 60-year-olds that made the mistake of being at that rally. 200,000 people, more than 500 arrests. Veterans, people that weren't even inside the Capitol. It really is sickening to watch because where's the help for these people? They're going against the DOJ. It's the biggest investigation in the history of the Department of Justice. And there you've got the Joint Chiefs Chairman, Chairman Milley, who says he wants to understand white rage. He wants to make sure that his soldiers are learning about critical race theory, learning about how racist America's founding institutions are, learning about how racist Americans are. He said it was fueled by white rage. This is what Nancy Pelosi said on Thursday about what fueled the January 6th protest, clip three.
One is about the root causes of it, the white supremacy, the anti-Semitism, the Islamophobia.
Right, the white supremacy, the white rage. So all of these government agencies, they got to get these guys off the street, these racists, as they see it. Here's that quote from conservative Treehouse. It says, the January 6th House Select Committee investigation is to MAGA voters what the Mueller investigation was to President Trump, a tool to attack political opposition and frame a narrative for the 2022 midterm election. Nothing more. They're using it as a weapon, as a tool to go after the opposition, to make a political purge, and to try to get the right narrative in place ahead of 2022. We're getting a hard look, as my father has said before, of just what they're willing to do to get into power and to maintain their stranglehold on power. It says January 6th, Select Committee will be entirely run by Democrats and their lawfare operatives within staff. The purpose of that committee will carry the same intents as the Mueller investigation in 2017 through 2019, to frame a narrative against their political opposition. The difference this time will be that President Trump is not the sole target. See, if they, like we've said at the trumpet, if they can do this to Donald Trump, look at what they can do to ordinary Americans. This is from Julie Kelly at American Greatness. She's one of the few who's written quite a lot at all these hundreds and hundreds of arrests and people rotting away in jail, waiting for their day in court. Julie Kelly says the entire investigation is an attempt to prosecute people based on their beliefs. Those who purge their views and admit their wrong think will be given mercy. Those who don't will pay dearly. This is like straight out of George Orwell's 1984. The thought police now. It says, my lawyer has given me names of books. She's talking about this grandmother who came to the court and basically said, I've seen all of the injustices now. I've seen the light. I made the mistake of going to the Trump protest. But now, I mean, Your Honor, have mercy on me. I'm a racist, I guess. This is her. She's saying, I've learned that even though we live in a wonderful country, things still need to improve. People of all colors should feel as safe as I do to walk down the street. And then Julie Kelly says this, that passage is part book report, part white privilege mea culpa submitted to a federal court this month by Anna Morgan Lloyd, one of the more than 500 Americans arrested for her involvement in the events at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. It says the 49-year-old grandmother of five, then from Southern Indiana, was charged with four counts of trespassing and disorderly conduct, even though she walked through an open door and was inside the building for all of about 5 minutes. She's arrested, this grandmother. They really got her. They got rid of another dangerous criminal. Julie Kelly says she was ratted out to the FBI by a county worker who saw her January 6th posts on Facebook. Is this America or is this communist China we're talking about? One of her neighbors ratted her out. Hey, is this the FBI? Hello there. I have got what I think is an insurrectionist living next to me. It says on Wednesday, Lloyd, who has a clean criminal record, pleaded guilty to one count of parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building. She pleaded guilty to parading around. Can you believe this? Particularly, what's so infuriating is that this comes just a few months after destruction upon destruction. And no justice there. The rioters just left to roam the streets. It says, but not before, let me back up. Lloyd, who has a clean criminal record, pleaded guilty to one count of parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building, but not before she consented to undergo a re-education exercise at the urging of her court-appointed lawyer. It says, like many January 6 defendants, Lloyd does not have the means to hire a private attorney. So it's a court-appointed lawyer who comes in and basically begins the process of deprogramming this Trump supporter. And then she's left to admit guilt and then say, I've been reformed. I've changed my thinking. I mean, the attorney's not even working for her. I suppose if he did, he might be in danger of losing his license. It says, it's safe to say Heather Shaner, a D.C.-based criminal defense attorney representing a handful of January 6 protesters, does not share the political beliefs of her Capitol clients, which is why she's forcing them to read books and watch movies highlighting dark chapters in U.S. history. I mean, they've got to be brainwashed. I don't know a lot about the one movie I do, but outside of that, what does this have to do with whether she's guilty or not? Did she commit a crime? Well, I guess the court says yes. She was parading. And then it's not enough for her to confess. She's got to go through these materials and then apologize for being a Trump supporter. You laugh at clips like this from earlier this year. This is Katie Couric on, I think it's Bill Maher's show, and listen to her talking about deprogramming Trump supporters. Clip 8.
I mean, it's really bizarre, isn't it, when you think about how AWOL so many of these members of Congress have gotten. But I also think some of them are believing the garbage that they are being fed 24/7 on the internet by their constituents, and they bought into this big lie. And the question is, how are we going to really almost deprogram these people who have signed up for the cult of Trump?
How are we going to deprogram them? Well, they now have a pretext. January 6, the darkest chapter in American history, says Pelosi. We've got it. We need a committee now. We've got to get another investigation going. It's not enough, 500 arrests. We've got to get as many of them in jail as possible. We've got to unleash shock and awe, said this lead federal investigator. Is this fair? Is this justice? This is not justice. This is a grave injustice. This is a political purge. Julie Kelly's article says nearly every charging document filed by Joe Biden's Justice Department in the Capitol breach probe mentions the defendant's belief about the 2020 presidential election as evidence of wrongdoing. What does that have to do with whether or not they committed a crime on January the 6th? Okay, if you're going to get them on trespassing, fine. But what is their thinking about the November 3rd election? What does that have to do with anything? And yet it's in nearly every court document. This is really important information. It's important to the Joint Chiefs Chairman. It's important to these judges, these activist judges. It's important to these court-appointed attorneys. Here's just one example in a court filing in the case of Jessica Watkins, an oath keeper who has been behind bars since January after the government successfully argued for her pretrial detention. The government argued for this. She needs to stay in jail until the trial. She should be put in jail without bail. Why? Well, here's their argument. There is no new or material information that casts the defendant in any less dangerous of a light than when this court decided to detain her approximately 1 month ago, prosecutors wrote in March. The information advanced by the defendant to support her motion for release does nothing to undermine her extremist and violent views regarding how to address what she believed to be a fraudulent election. Well, you can't even have the view that there was any kind of fraud in November. Well, now, if you're Stacey Abrams, you certainly can. You can view the 2018 gubernatorial race as fraudulent. She still hasn't conceded. So it's okay. It's okay. If you're a radical leftist Marxist Democrat, it's okay to reject the results of 2016, 2000, anything a Democrat loses. Well, right away, almost a knee-jerk reaction. It was fraudulent. But now, look at, these are courts keeping people in detention, keeping people in jail because they view November 3rd as a fraud. This is not communist China we're talking about. This is the United States of America. Julie Kelly concludes her piece saying, the entire January 6th investigation is an attempt to prosecute people based on their beliefs. Those who purge their views and admit their wrongthink will be given mercy. I read this earlier. Those who don't will pay dearly. See, you've got to even purge your views. If you don't, then you need to be blotted out. This is the Trump supporters that were there on January 6th. And you've heard all the other sound bites if you listen to our daily program. I've played them for you. They're seen as the greatest threat, the greatest domestic threat in America today. The so-called white rage, white supremacy. Dinesh D'Souza, the conservative commentator, he has a different view. Here's what he had to say. Not that long ago, clip 4.
The FBI has become a grave threat to our national security. In fact, I would say the FBI now poses a greater threat to our national security than any militant white supremacist group. Thugs with badges are always more dangerous than thugs on the street.
He's right. Thugs with badges, they're far more dangerous than thugs on the streets. I just want to refer you to our Trumpet magazine. Once again, it comes out every month. You can subscribe to it if you go to our website, thetrumpet.com. Don't forget about thetrumpet.com/live if you'd like to get to the weekday programs. They play live at 9 a.m. out west and at noon on the East Coast, 11 a.m. in the Central time zone. But call our operators, 1-866-930-3024, and subscribe to The Trumpet magazine. Here's an excerpt from the April edition of The Trumpet. My father writing here. It says, Special Counsel Mueller knew no collusion with Russia ever occurred. And everybody else knew it too. The leaders at the Justice Department knew it. The leaders at the FBI knew it. The direction of the intelligence agencies, the directors of the intel agencies knew it. The congressional committees, which have both Republican and Democrat members, knew it. They all wanted to create the illusion that Mueller's team was looking for the truth, but they never were. They weren't looking for the truth. They were purging a political opponent. They were targeting a political opponent. It says here, they were simply covering up their attempted coup, their treason against this nation. It says the Democrats and some Republicans knew it was a fake investigation being used as a political weapon, yet Mr. Trump just could not believe the scale of corruption in Washington. It is hard to believe. Now we're seeing so much of that corruption being exposed. Yes, even the corruption surrounding November the 3rd, the election fraud, before that, using the pandemic as a pretext to get in tens of millions of mail-in ballots. They needed that. They needed that to successfully pull off the steal. And they lied about the COVID-19 origins. They said it was natural. No, it came from the lab. And who funded the lab? Tony Fauci did. Is he going to lose his license like Giuliani lost his lawyer license? Of course not. He's working with the CCP. He's promoted. He's the highest paid federal agent. He's a bureaucrat. He's a radical leftist himself. One lie on top of another, and they just continue right on. I mean, this is a nation that, as it says in 2 Kings 14, there's no help. Only God could turn this around. No man's going to do it. This is from the same article. It says, the complicity among the political class, including Democrats, Republicans, the news media, and others, is far deeper than Americans realize. The amount of power, money, influence, technology, and intimidation they wield is staggering. We need to be concerned most of all about the second goal, to bury the illegal action, to create the cover-up needed for everything that took place in the Stop Trump operation. All of this fraud, all of this corruption, all of this wrongdoing, God's exposing a fair bit of it, and he'll expose much more. And even as you look at these audits happening in Arizona and soon to be Georgia, what will we see? Why should they be so concerned? And why should they want to just stamp them out, blot them out? Because they don't want to be exposed. Well, I don't have much time left. I just want to, again, point you in the direction of our weekday show. You can get to that every day. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Weekend Edition. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you next time.
The Trumpet Daily.